Good morning. How's everybody doing? My goodness, what a squeaky pulpit. I just want to mention the Air Miles cards are on our table there, so feel free to take one. That is a real blessing to us, if you're going to use it, Terry says. I'd like to talk to you about my life message today. I'm going to move back so I can look at you all. Can we begin in prayer? Holy Spirit, I just thank you for your presence here, and I know that you have good things to say. I ask for you to say them through me now for the next little bit. And I give myself to you. I thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. A week ago today, just around this time, I was getting on a train after ministering in a city in the south of Ukraine with Colleen Durazio, one of the pastor's wives of Catch the Fire, or Partners in Harvest, and with two other women. We called ourselves the Blessing Babes, four women. We were traveling around Ukraine doing ministry. And one thing I love about the Holy Spirit, and it seems like in every language, his name is beautiful. The Holy Spirit, doesn't that just, it has such a beauty to it. And in Russian, it's Duk Svatoy. It just, so beautiful. And in Chinese, it's Shunling Lai. It's, I don't know what it is in the many, many languages that are just in this room. But the Holy Spirit, I love him. He's beautiful. Even his name is beautiful. Hallelujah. I like to preach and teach out of the Gospel of Luke, and I hope you have a Bible. Can you guys dig for your Bibles? I'm sorry, I do not teach with PowerPoint or with lots of bling. I like the Bible. I just like to use the Word of God. Not that there's anything wrong with that, okay? I like to speak about Luke. My message is, as Terry said, the three women of Christmas or the three wise women, but I like to speak out of Luke. I've basically spent many, many years studying Luke and Acts, and I really, really like Luke. Luke was a Greek physician. He was also an extraordinary historian, and because he is the writer of two books in the New Testament, actually his two books, Luke and Acts, comprise more of the history of the New Testament than any of the other books in the New Testament. So Luke has a lot to say, and I think we need to really pay attention to what Luke says, because he is such a good writer. He was a wonderful historian, and I like to read the very beginning of what he says in Luke 1, verse 1. I'm going to just read those few verses. Many have undertaken, many have undertaken, in other words, lots of people have written things out there, but, he says, many have undertaken to drop an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us from those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. So Luke's saying, lots of people have written this down, but I'm also one of them, and I've looked at some eyewitness accounts of what took place in Jesus' life. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated, so he's an investigator too, everything from the beginning, it seemed good to me that I write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, and I will say most excellent Catch the Fire Mississauga campus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Now, does that sound like somebody who you can actually believe the words that they're saying? So we have this Greek physician who probably delivered some babies in his day, who is interviewing eyewitnesses who were there from the beginning. So I actually did a paper in my theological studies on Mary as an eyewitness to Luke. And I believe that Mary had some coffee with Luke, or maybe chai, I don't know, at the end of her life, because he doesn't come on the scene, Luke doesn't come on the scene till about 50 to 70 AD, and Mary was an old woman by then. But Mary did something. She treasured a lot of things in her heart. She put to memory some of her experiences, and someone wrote them down. Dr. Luke. So when I get to heaven, I actually want to sit down with Luke and have a little interview with him and say, tell me all about what you what you learned. And I find him a fascinating man. So we want to look at some of the things that Luke wrote down, and I think they are treasures for us. And there's something in here for everybody. And I'm not just speaking to women today, I'm speaking to men. So this is a gender non-specific message, but you will take out of it what God wants you to have. First woman I want to look at is Mary. And if you turn to where she is introduced by Luke, in verse 26 of Luke 1, we want to read this, and this isn't just for Christmas. I hope you will take these words and meditate on them throughout the year. So in the beginning of when Luke is introducing Mary to us, let's start at verse 26. In the sixth month, that is the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, because we've already been told about Elizabeth, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." A few things about those statements. First of all, we don't know anything about Mary before this. We don't know her age. We don't know what she was doing at the time. All we know is that where she's from geographically and who she is, her standing before God and her standing before man. Her standing before God is that she's highly favored. Well, where was she highly favored? She was highly favored in heaven. God's eyes were roving to and fro throughout the earth, looking for that one in whom he would plant his own son, his only begotten son, who is worthy to carry the DNA of heaven. Who can I find? And his eyes fixed upon this young woman. She probably was a teenager, 16, 17, the age of some of you in here. And his eyes just riveted on her. I can see that. And God said, "There's one. She has my favor." And her standing before man was she was a virgin. She hadn't known a man. Now, she was betrothed. Matthew tells us she was betrothed to Joseph, but she hadn't yet been married to him. The marriage hadn't been consummated. Matthew says, before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. But when the divine visitor came, when Gabriel, and this is important, God sent the chief angel, the big boss, not the biggest boss, but a big boss. He sent Gabriel to earth to stand before a woman and to say these messages to her. And we don't know what she was doing. Maybe she was at home, maybe she was in a field, plowing or planting crops. Maybe she was at the well. Maybe she was in bed sleeping, getting her beauty sleep. Maybe she was praying quiet before God. Maybe she was scrubbing the floor. We have no idea. Luke only gives us one potato chip and says, you have to be satisfied with that. There's more to the story. But we know one thing. Mary never forgot the words. She must have memorized them in every detail and treasured every memory and told them to Luke much later on in her life. And the angel says to her, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." How many know the song or have already heard the song in the malls, Ave Maria? You know the song. In Latin, that's what this is. It means, hello, Mary. Ave Maria. Hail Mary. Hello, Mary. In the ancient script of Latin. So basically, it's just a greeting, Ave Maria. And when he says, hello, Mary, he says these beautiful words, the Lord is with you. Just let that settle on you. Do you really need to hear anything else from an angel? Wouldn't that have been enough? The Lord is with you. Okay, thank you. Beautiful, beautiful words. So powerful. The Lord is saying them to you today. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you, Juliana. He's going to be with you on Monday when you go into that school. The Lord is with you. You're highly favored. His favor rests upon us. Hallelujah. So the angel's greetings, the angel was sent to her. And Mary isn't so shocked at what at Gabriel standing in front of her. I would be. Mary, in verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. She's not shocked at the fact that an angel's standing in front of her, but at his words, at what he's actually saying. And then the angel says, and I want you to remember these words, do not be afraid. If we remember from the Lord, like Mary did, that we're highly favored, that the Lord is with us, and we do not be afraid, those are treasures that need to go deep, 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 deep within us. We have the favor from God. The Lord is with us at all times, and we don't have to be afraid. That's all I need. How about you? It's all I need in life. And so Mary says, the angel downloads Jesus' identity and destiny, and this is what we called our ministry, Identity and Destiny, ID Ministries, because of this verse. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Here's the identity. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great. Here's his destiny. And will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Wow, that's enough to make you go onto the floor. Me? That's going to be within me? But Mary didn't get all puffed up and say, okay, we've been waiting for the Messiah for 400 years, and now I've been chosen. I'm going to go and tell everybody that I know. I'm the one. Mary didn't say that. God saw the heart, right? The heart that was ready to receive the Son of God. And Mary asks a very good biological question. She doesn't ask anything about the spiritual part. She says, how can this be since I am a virgin? She knew the birds and the bees enough to ask that very good question. And the angel doesn't get upset at her. He says, these incredible words, the Holy Spirit. Well, let's just stop there. How did Mary even know the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit hadn't been poured out yet. We're coming out of a time of deep darkness after the Old Testament. But remember, Joel had said at the end of the New Testament, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Even your young women. So now, here we are, and Mary somehow knows when the angel says, the Holy Spirit, she's like, okay, I know Dux Fatoi, I know Shen Ling Lai, I know the Holy Spirit. And she says, the angel says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. I love that word. How does a shadow fall upon you? What do you need for a shadow? Light and what else? To draw close, right? You need some nearness. Like right now, the shadow of my hand is falling upon my Bible because of the light and the object, right? You need that. So the Holy Spirit overshadows Mary. And the word overshadow is the same root as way back at the very beginning of time in Genesis. Genesis 1, verse 2, I believe it is, when the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep, that's the same root word as overshadow. So God was hovering over here and creating earth, and now the Holy Spirit is hovering, overshadowing Mary and creating the Son of God within her. Hallelujah. Does that not make you want to praise him? Hallelujah. Ho! Oh. These truths are so precious. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Who wants to dwell under the shadow of the Almighty? Who wants to stay under the arm of the Lord's shadow? That's where I want to be. That's the safe place. I don't want to leave that overshadowing. And when you're under his shadow, that's when things happen, man. That's when you become pregnant with the promises of God. That's when you gestate God's will on earth. Hallelujah. So stay under the shadow of the Almighty like Mary did. So Mary's under the shadow. And then he says, so the Holy One to be born of you will be called the Son of God. And then he gives a very concrete example for our very concrete Mary who knows what life's about. He says, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. And then we sang it today. These are the words an angel spoke to a young woman at the very beginning of the Gospels. Take them, for nothing is impossible with God. Hodasha. Nothing is impossible with God. God said those words to a young woman. Receive them for yourself. They're for all of us, but God said those words through the angel to Mary. Nothing is impossible with God. If it can happen to Elizabeth, it can happen to you, Mary. If it can happen to your brother, it can happen to your sister. If it can happen to your aunt, it can happen to your uncle. God is no respecter of persons. Now, Mary had a choice. She could have said, she could have gone one of two ways. Which way did she go? She said yes. She said, may it be. It's the words the Beatles used. Let it be. It comes from that song. The song comes from this scripture. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Mary said yes. She said, yes, Lord. When you say yes to God, you wait and see what's going to happen. What if Mary had said no? No. No, you've got the wrong person, the wrong century, the wrong age, the wrong gender. You can do it another way. Would we be here today? Did God have a plan B? Mary said yes. And I just love her for that. I want to just thank her when I get to heaven for saying yes to God. Because she said yes, that's why the Lord, the incarnation, came to us. Jesus became a baby. Jesus was born from a womb, just like you and me. And I actually am a birth doula. I'm a woman who helps women in labor and delivery, and I have twins that are due right around now, and another mama who's due this week. And I know what it's like to be in the birthing room. And it is a messy miracle. And Jesus was born just like us. Because a woman said, yes, may it be done unto me according to your word. He became flesh for us. He became one of us. He knows our weakness. I love that Christmas carol. He knows our need, to our weakness is no stranger. Behold your king. There's some powerful, powerful worship in Christmas carols, but I digress. So God, Mary was the only human source for Jesus' DNA. God chose Jesus to be born through a woman. Does he love women or what? He also loves single mothers. I just want to throw this in. For a season, Mary was a single parent. God loves women who find themselves in situations they weren't planning on. In basically hard situations, because Mary there's no mention in scripture of her family. There's no mention of her immediate family or of support. She had to get out of town. She had to run out of town because of gossiping, wagging tongues, and possibility of stoning because she was pregnant before she was married. So she gets out of town, and she needs a blessing ASAP. And who's there for her but her lovely Aunt Lizzie. I call her Aunt Lizzie. She was a relative. We don't know how she was related to Mary, but she was gestating the promise that God had given her husband, that he didn't believe, and he's rendered silent. But Elizabeth is not silent. In fact, she's quite vocal. And let's go there to the next verse. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby, John, leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth is filled with who? There he is again. The Holy Spirit is all over this story. These infancy narratives, we call them. He's all over this. He's brooding and hovering over this whole story. In a loud voice, as compared to her husband, who doesn't have a voice, but in a loud voice, she prophetically exclaims, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored?" There's that word again, favor, that the mother of my Lord should come to me. Now listen, how did Elizabeth know that Jesus was her Lord? He's in utero. He can't be seen, but she knows by the Holy Spirit, here comes my Savior through those doors. I'm going to be filled with blessing and bless the mother who is carrying my Savior. She is the first person in Scripture to call Jesus her Lord, and he is not even visible yet. Does that not want to make you praise him too? We can't see him, but we call him Lord. So Jesus is already the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as he's marching inside his mama. Beautiful. I love it. So blessed are you among women. Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Receive those words too. Mary needed her faith blessed, her little mustard seed of faith. Can I really do this? Am I really called? What's going to happen? Will we have a safe place for this baby? Is Joe going to provide for us? Who knows the many questions she had? But Elizabeth said, "Blessed are you who believe that what the Lord has said to you will be accomplished." And God has said some things to you here in this room that will be accomplished. But you need that blessing to believe it and to see it through. So I bless the seeds of faith in you. I bless the book you're bringing out, sister. It's going to be one of those things you've been gestating, but you'll see the fruit of your labors in the name of Jesus. And when I teach this, I love to actually demonstrate this blessing, especially if there's a pregnant woman in the room. And I did not see one when I came in. I kind of have a honing device within me. Is there anyone who is pregnant who would love to receive a blessing today? Okay, going once, going twice. Okay, so if I had a pregnant lady here, we would all rise to bless what God is doing within her. And we would do this very thing, the Mary Elizabeth blessing. If you know our teaching, you've seen me do it probably. And we bless the baby, we bless the parents, and we all say the Mary Elizabeth blessing. You say, blessed is she who has believed, and she says, I am the Lord's servant. If you know a pregnant woman, they love to be blessed, and their babies love to be blessed. They leap and jump in their mommy's wombs. They love it. So ask permission first, and then go ahead and give pregnancy blessings. This is a pattern for us to use. One more word about Mary. After Mary is blessed by Elizabeth, Mary breaks forth into a prophetic song called the Magnificat. And in this song, it's a song of justice, it's a song of history, it's a song praising God's power throughout the generations. But she says something very important that I want you to take home. In verse 48 and 49, she says, for he, the Lord, has been mindful of the humble state of his servant, herself. From now on, all generations will call me what? Blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Now, Mary has her theology right. She says, all generations. Are you an all generation? Are you one of the all generations of all time? From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done to me great things, and holy is his name. So Mary's correct title that she gives herself and that Luke records is the blessed or blessed virgin Mary. She was blessed, she was a virgin, and her name was Mary. That's her correct title. She isn't Holy Mary, Mother of God. She's not holy. She was not the mother of God the Father. She was the mother of Jesus the Son. And we don't pray to her. I want to bless her though, because she was a blessed virgin. And I have learned so much from this woman's life. I don't hear from her or see apparitions or visions or anything like that. But I've studied her long and hard all through my life, since I was a child, actually. And I think we need to take a second look, and not just at Christmas time. Because Mary is a model for motherhood. And if she was chosen of all women of all time to be our Lord's mother, she deserves a second and a third and maybe a fourth look. Do you not agree? So, enough about Mary. We're moving on to Elizabeth. Elizabeth was a middle-aged woman, my second woman of Christmas. She was beyond childbearing years, and she was in those hot flash years. We don't know. Maybe in the sag and bag years, as we say. And in Luke 1, verse 5 to 7, we hear about her first. That Luke says that Elizabeth was a descendant of Aaron in verse 5. Both she and her husband were upright in the sight of the Lord, observing all of the Lord's commands and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. He doesn't tell us how well along, but well along enough to not be able to have a baby. Now, she was like a pastor's wife, really. Elizabeth was a priest's wife, a pastor's wife, and she probably lived in a fishbowl in their town, and she had a lot of shame and blame on her because she hadn't born children. And back then, if you were in leadership and you didn't have a baby, especially a boy, wow, tongues would be wagging. So she has had a hard time. She's had a hard time, but she was a woman of faith. She believed God. And she even believed that she would have a baby and that his name would be John, even when her husband was silent. I want you to go over to the first chapter. It's quite long of Luke, so go over to verse 57. She was also a prophet's mom, you know. She raised an unusual child, eh? Like from birth. He had a special call, and she received that call and raised him to eat funny food and wear weird clothing and to be the forerunner of our Savior. And She must have been an incredible mother to be able to receive the calling that her unusually gifted son had, and then to release him to go be the prophet that God had called her to him to be. She deserves another look too, Aunt Lizzie. So when it was time, in verse 57, for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, his name is to be called John." So actually, Elizabeth named the baby. Elizabeth named the first prophet in the New Testament. His name is John. As soon as she did that, Daddy was able to talk. Daddy's tongue was released, and he said, well, he wrote down his name is John, and then his tongue was released, and he had this incredibly prophetic song over his son, and basically said, "You're going to be this, and you're going to be that, and you're going to be great in the eyes of the Lord," and he made up for lost time, right, of his time of silence. He has a beautiful song over his baby boy. But Elizabeth was the first one to name her baby, and she was a friend and a mentor to Mary at a crucial time. I want to say this to those of you who are in the Elizabeth stage. You're never past your due date with God. You're never past your due date with God. When a mama goes overdue, they usually get very fretful. "I'm tired of being pregnant. I'm sick of being pregnant. How do I get this baby going?" They get grumpy. But I just want to say, you're never past your due date with God when you're in the Elizabeth years. And that goes for men as well as women. It's never too late to bless others and be blessed by God. She gave birth in late life to one who Jesus referred to as, "Among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist." In other words, like, he's way up there. So she was very privileged to be the mother of John. And we're let in on this beautiful coffee clatch of Mary and Elizabeth. And Elizabeth was mature. She was secure in her identity. She didn't let a young, pregnant woman with all the hormones that were in that room. There was no competition. There was no cattiness. There was just blessing. This is a pattern for how women and men are to relate to one another through the generations. My generation, the Elizabeth generation, is to bless the younger generation. Even though we are gestating what God wants to do in us, we bless the Marys. And it's incumbent upon the Mary generation here. And I'm going from 13, 14, up to 30. In that generation, you who are in that generation in this room, you need to find an Elizabeth in your life. Mary ran to Elizabeth. She knew she needed blessing. Elizabeth was ready for her with blessing on her lips and the coffee pot on, and, "I'm here to bless you, girl." And she stayed with her for 3 months. But Mary had to find her. So if you don't have an Elizabeth in your life, ask God to give you one. And then go and just hang out with them. Just be with them. That's what Mary did. She came back so much stronger. She came back so strong that she was able to get on that donkey and go right down the spine of Israel to Bethlehem and bear her own son in a cave. Wow. Isn't the Christmas story rich? So many levels, it's rich. The last woman of Christmas. Oh, I want to say one more thing about before I move on. When I was a young mother, very close to here in Streetsville, there were two Elizabeths who said to me, and that one of them lived in Meadowvale. That's where we are right now, right? I should know that. I should remember that. Anyway, these two women said, "We would like to pray you through labor and delivery of your firstborn child." And I said, "Yes, please." They were both nurses. And Terry called them up when I went into labor, and they prayed me through that. And I said, that's what I want to do when I'm your age. I want to be an Elizabeth and to pray women through labor and delivery. And I've done that. I've been a spiritual doula, our home ministry, over 25 years. And now I actually do it in the room that with where the birth takes place, be it home or hospital. So you know what? I just want to say I bless the Elizabeths that God is raising up. My generation now. It's coming. Be there for them. And don't be intimidated by them. When I was in Ukraine last week, I was at the Catch the Fire Ukraine conference with John Arnott, Shay On, Dan Slade. And Shay On's message had to do with generational reconciliation. And he called up everyone who had been born after 1973, because 1973 was the year that abortion was legalized in the United States. And then he had anyone born prior to 1973 come up and bless them. And I'm going to, in a minute, give the mic to Terry, and we're going to do a blessing of generations here this morning, of the Mary Elizabeth, and I want to conclude with Anna. I don't really see many Annas here today, but she deserves just our mention, because you may have Annas in your life that you need to bless, i.e. maybe grandma at the Christmas table. Anna was also a prophet, and I want to say all three of these women prophesied. Mary prophesied in the Magnificat. Elizabeth prophesied over Mary, and Anna was a prophet in Israel, in Jerusalem at this time, and there were not many prophets. She was a female prophet. And Luke talks about her in, she gets three verses in the Bible, but they're packed with meaning. Please go to them. Luke 2, 36. There was also a prophetess, Anna. This is the third woman of Christmas, the third wise woman. The daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. So she'd come from a godly line. She was from one of the tribes. She was very old. Luke is so honest. Wouldn't you like that about you in the Bible? You're very old for everybody to read forever. Oh, Luke. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after their marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. He even gives the age. Most women don't like that. She never left the temple, but worshiped day and night, fasting and praying. This was a church lady. She lived in the temple. Some scholars think she even had a room in the place where the women, on the women's side of the temple, she probably even had a room where she could pray. She was an intercessor. She was also a prophet. And coming up to them, Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus, at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So Anna is a very moment lady. She's in church, always in church, fasting and praying. And at that very moment, with these white gray hairs on her head, she sees that family come through those doors. And she knows they are special. I'm going to start speaking blessing over them. I'm not going to worry about the kind of worship they do, what they look like, what they wear in church, how they act. I'm going to speak blessing. She blesses that young family. And we don't know what she said. Luke doesn't let us in on that. But not only does she bless them, she then proclaims. She becomes an evangelist and tells everybody around who this baby is. This baby's an important one. Take note. So she, even though she was very old, she was not shy. She was bold, old and bold. She was an active, living, breathing member of the body of Christ in her old age. And maybe she told Mary some of those things that she later treasured in her heart. So I just want to bless the Annas, if there are any in the room, if you're older, senior, that God has something for you still to do, to prophetically proclaim like Anna did and like the other wise women of Christmas did. Proclaim God's purposes on the next generation. So, so powerful. So I thank God for these women. And they also should be speaking to the men, because God is no respecter of age or stage or gender. And he wants us all to receive these blessings. So I'd like Terry to come up, and we're going to do this intergenerational blessing. We're going to bless these ages and stages.
Yeah, did you get something from that today? Yeah, that's rich. I did, yeah, yes. Give it up for the preacher. Man, you were preaching it today. You know how many times we've heard each other speak this message around the world? I mean, our book's going into its fourth language translation as we speak now. We've been on 5 continents. We've done this over 100 times to thousands of different people. And yet this morning, that was fresh to me. And I learned something. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me something I'd never seen quite that way before. Just an encouragement. Whenever you're in church, whenever you're listening, whenever the Bible's open, the Logos can become a Rhema. God can speak something. You can quicken that, right? So, like, honor him, trust him, and get that meal for you. Well, I believe there's a word here today, and I know everybody would love to have a personal word, wouldn't you? Like, you know, when I'm in a room, I would, every time I'm there, there's somebody there I trust or think knows how to hear from God. I would love to get a word every time I'm there. It doesn't always happen, but this morning, specifically for school and ministry, guys, I want you to stand up because I have something for you, okay? Just stand up where you are, anybody that's in the school of ministry, okay? I don't mean, you know, we're all in God's school of ministry. I mean the Catch the Fire school of ministry. I want to speak to you first, and I want to bless this. This is what I heard, and this is a teaching for all of us, maybe even a point of repentance for some of us. Hope not, but perhaps. But it's a word of encouragement for you guys. I saw something there today, clearer than I've ever seen it before. We've always talked about Zechariah, and Melissa didn't have time to cover that, but Zechariah having his mouth shut because he did not agree with the revelation that God gave him about the identity on the next generation. Okay? And so God prevented him from giving a bad blessing. And until he was ready to agree with God, then his mouth wasn't open. But I see something even more stark in there today, and that's this. My generation, okay, us, the middle-aged folks, until we recognize and bless what God is doing, just beginning to do, starting to do in the next generation, we're going to lose our voice. I know a lot of people who haven't lost their position. They're still pastoring. They're still leading. They're still doing what they're doing, but people will no longer hear you. You will lose your influence, your voice, your spiritual power, and your fruit until you recognize what's going on in the next generation. Zechariah had no voice. Elizabeth, verse 42, in a loud voice. The more you recognize what God's doing in the next generation, the louder your voice will become. God will give you influence. He will give you power and influence based on that. Because if you don't, what's happening is sooner or later your preaching is going to be keeping people behind what he's doing. It's very important that we stay in step with what the Holy Spirit's doing. So I want to challenge you all, what's God doing in the younger generation around you if you are middle-aged, okay? What is God doing in this church? What is the purpose for this campus? I know you're here for different reasons, but one of the things is to recognize and release people like this. And what I heard, I believe I heard the Lord saying, and I just want to encourage you and receive it as a blessing if you can hear, okay? And that is that some of you are struggling to find your voice. With the first book we wrote, the editor basically rewrote it, and it was most... The hardest experience I've had in ministry was trying to write a book the first time. And till I realized something, and it all went down, I was trying to write it in somebody else's voice. I was trying to be a combination of Max Lucado and Chuck Swindoll and everyone else, right? I wanted to sound profound. And then I realized, forget that. What God's told me, write it down. Say it like I say it. I found my voice. In the second book, it was no problem. And there's something about... You know, you're just in the stage of finding out who you are in the Lord and what he's going to call you to be. You're in that process. Between 20 and 30 years old, it's supposed to take 10 years. Okay? We know, like, you know, Justin Bieber's writing his memoirs at 18, but I mean, most of us don't peak that young, all right? It's supposed to take longer. It took Jesus till he was 30, till he was released into the beginning of his life calling. So I want to bless you in the struggle and the birthing, because this is such a picture, what Melissa was saying there. Spiritually, you're in a birthing process, and you're just finding your voice. So find someone with whom it resonates with, and they will begin in a loud voice to bless what God's doing. And that will encourage you to know that what's going on in your heart is really God. Because what Mary was pregnant with, nobody had ever seen before. Right. It was spiritually discerned. And there was very, very few people who could look at her and say, we bless this new thing that's happening. And what you are going to do is unlike the previous generations. Just one more thing, honey, I'll give it to you. Our youngest son is 24. He's called to full-time ministry, but he wouldn't go to Bible college. We had to bless that. One day he probably will. Right now he's in the film industry in Toronto, and God is blessing him, crazy blessings. He's getting to go all around the world. He's getting to witness people. God's going to use it for ministry. We had to stand back and say, okay, we bless what you're doing. It's not the route we wanted, but we bless this unusual thing you say you're supposed to do. Now, 5 years later, we go, oh my goodness, if we'd made him obey us or take our advice, then we would have missed this thing that God was doing. Is no, I want to get in that industry. I'm going to walk with God, and he does. He knows he could, and God is favoring him. So, I mean, that's an exciting job. I don't know what your job will be, but God has a business plan for your ministry. He has a way to finance what he's really called you to do. So we just want to say, in Jesus' name, we bless the thing that still is embryonic, that you can't describe it fully, but you know it's life. And you know, do you know what I'm talking about? It's coming in there. There's something there. And we bless it, and we call it forth, that you had come all the way from Omaha and Indianapolis and Bath, England, and wherever else that you've come from, that you would come across the waters, across the land to listen. We bless that. And you've had to even ignore some people's advice to come here. Some have said, don't go spend your money, go make your money. Go get a degree that's going to give you a business thing. But something in you has said, we got to go and find it out. And we bless that, okay? We bless that in you, and we call it forth in Jesus' name.
So if you are in the Elizabeth or even the Anna generation, I'd like you to stand and put your hands out towards these young Marys and Marks.
Any other teenagers or young adults here, come on
forward. Anybody in the Mary stage, we want to bless you. So if you are in that stage, stand up, please.
Under 30.
Under 30.
Come forward if you're in the under 30.
You guys too, come on. And if you are in the Elizabeth years or Anna years, I want you to put your hands out towards these people. Pretend they're all pregnant. Hallelujah. But are you ready, Elizabeth, to speak blessing in a loud voice? Are you ready? So I'm going to lead you in that over these precious, precious ones that God wants to do a new thing in. Hora shara larako. Yeah, okay, you guys turn around and face those Elizabeths. And we're going to say men and women are Elizabeths today. So we want to say, blessed are you among people. Say it after me. Blessed are you among people, and blessed are the children you will bear. Vision, blessed are the visions and dreams for ministry that you will bear. Ora show. And blessed is she and he. Blessed are you who have believed that what the Lord has said to you will be accomplished. Speak it forth. Blessed are you who have believed that what the Lord has said to you will be accomplished. Now, you young people, turn to me. You must respond the way Mary did. You must say yes. You must. You don't have a choice unless you want to be out of the will of God. Are you ready to say yes? So I want you to say these words that Mary said. Open your arms like this. Say yes. May it be. May it be done unto me according to your word. We say yes, Lord. We say, let it be. Let it be done unto us according to your word, O God. And Lord, I want to bless every generation that is here, the Marys, the Elizabeths, and maybe a few Annas and Simeons in the crowd. I call you blessed. I bless every generation here today that God would complete the good work he has begun in you, and he would begin new works that you're not even aware of. We call you a blessed people. We bless this congregation. We bless what God's doing here. And we say thank you, Lord, for these women that you brought into the very beginning of your life for an example to us. Hallelujah. We call them blessed in Jesus' name.